First, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 15. As you're finding 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, start thinking about this. How do you keep score? It depends on what you're playing, you might say. In some games, you keep score by how many points you can amass. Baseball, basketball, football, all go with how many points you score. And the winner is determined by who has the most points at the end. In other games, it's how few. Golf, for instance, is about how few points one amasses. If you're playing miniature golf, putt-putt, the par is always two, so you always know that you're trying to get there in two strokes. Now, out on the real golf course, it varies. In school, it is by the grade you earn, or how many friends you have, or who likes to play with you. So how do you keep score in life? As John continues his letter to us, he reminds us of how to keep score. Last week, I talked about Jesus being your best friend. If Jesus is your best friend forever, your life will display the value you place on Jesus. Let's read 1 John chapter 15. We're going to read through verse 28. John says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out, so that it would be shown that they are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming." How do you keep score? Do not keep score as the world does. He who has the most toys when he dies does not win. John clearly links belief and behavior. Very bluntly, John tells us not to love the world nor the things of the world. He said, but the world's beautiful. Yes, because it reflects God's glory. But don't love the world. Don't love what the world produces. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Well, how do you know you love if you love the world? Sometimes, you know, you go through life and you're really not sure. You just kind of go to work and you go to school and you do everything expected of you. And you think, well, do I really love the world? Pay attention to what you focus on. Love of the world comes from the world, and the world, John says, passes the way. The love, if you have love of the world or not, is determined by the desires that you have, by what you desire, what you strive for, what you keep score by. There are three areas or desires John gives us. The first is lust of the flesh. This is the pursuit of what you want or value, not what God wants or values. And it can seem as innocent as wanting to enjoy yourself, have a good time, be happy. But is it because we have this lust of the flesh? The second area is this lust of the eyes. You want what you can see. Things are more important than the Lord is. You're never satisfied with what you have. You always want more or another experience of seeing, doing, having. Watch a little TV this afternoon and know what the advertisements are. It's about what we can see. The third area of desire is the boastful pride of life. It's the desire to be able to brag about some aspect of your life. I did this. My kids did that. It's something that just makes us feel good because of what's happened. The boastful pride of life. But all the time, what we're doing is comparing ourselves to one another. And this is how the world keeps score. But we are to do something different. If you remember the old Steve Martin movie, The Jerk, there is one iconic scene that made its way to the graphic of the movie, promoting the movie. And it is the one scene that I remember. In the movie, Steve Martin's character was living with someone. I think it was his wife, as I read the short version of the movie. And they were going to part ways, and he goes back to the house and he says, I want this one thing, if I can just have this one thing. Well, so she agrees, and the next scene shows him standing there holding a chair and all this stuff. It wasn't just one thing that he wanted, it was all this stuff. And that's the way you and I are. If we say we want one, we really are saying is we want as many as we can get. So several questions arise. One is how much is enough? How much is enough? I looked it up. The average home size in 1970 was 1,400 square feet. Today, that figure has increased to over 2,400 square feet. How many square feet does it take for you to lie down and go to sleep at night? Another 1,000 square feet? Yet we think we need more and more and more. Why is it that things have grown like that? Is that how many keep score by what? Is it that many keep score by what you have? I heard somebody talking about one time that they were delivering furniture to this very ritzy area of town, whatever town it was. And when they got there, there was nothing in the house. But the house looked good. And the comment was made by the people, yeah, we can finally afford to buy our furniture now. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? It's because we're keeping score by what we have. Another question to ask yourself is do I need two of everything? Do I need a new whatever if the older one works fine? Do you compare yourself to anyone else? Maybe you struggle with what I realized I have struggled with for a long time. Being the little brother. I'm the little brother on both sides. And I look at one side and I see what they're able to have. And I look at the other side and I see what they're able to have and what they're able to do. And I look and I think, man, do I measure up? You know, they've never said anything. They've never said, Robert, you know, do you have this? Do you have that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But I realize that I struggle with that. And there's an old saying that we've coined, keeping up with the Joneses. And that phrase came about because we compete with each other. Do you do that? And John lays out this struggle. And this is on me because I am struggling sometimes with my love of the world and the things in the world. How do you keep score? Do you keep score by observing who remains faithful to the Lord? It's not by what we have. We need to keep score by seeing who remains faithful to the Lord. John ended verse 17 with the truth that the one who does the will of God lives forever. So remain faithful to the Lord. In verse 18, he builds on that idea in the direction of understanding what was happening around them. He said, it is the last hour. You say, well, when was this written? Wasn't that written like 2,000 years ago? Do you know when Jesus is coming back? I don't. You say, well, all this stuff's going to happen, and all this stuff is going to happen, and all this stuff is happening. We still do not understand. So we need to remain faithful to the Lord because it is the last hour. Ever since Jesus invaded the evil one's domain and dealt him that death blow in the cross and the resurrection, it has been the last hour. And the end of that final hour, since we don't know it, calls the church, calls the children, calls us to be on guard. Remain faithful. It's interesting if you read history. World War II had many decisive battles, but probably the most decisive battle was the invasion of Normandy. The general who was in charge of the German troops wanted to go home. Something about his family, his wife, something was going on. And they all agreed that nothing was going to happen. And June 6th, 1944, did. We don't know what's going to happen, so we need to remain faithful. And so he said, many antichrists have appeared. A proper understanding of the person and work of Jesus is fundamental to Christianity, and it cannot be compromised. Some of these antichrists even came out of the church, the followers of Jesus. If you think back over what's going on in our culture today as different ones who at one point in their life said, this is how you ought to live, and it was scripturally true, biblically true, yet now today we do something, they say, oh, well, let's do something different. We are to remain faithful to the Lord. And John said, they went out, but they were not really of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained. But they were not faithful to the Lord. Those who remain faithful to the Lord are the ones who know the truth and hold to the truth. Do you know it's interesting in Paul's description of the articles of the faith that we are to take up? You know, I got to start sitting on this side of things so that I can see what Blake does. I didn't know if an orange would float. Who knew? That it is the belt of truth that we're to put on. We're to hold to the truth, and the truth is what helps keep us together. We are to know the truth, and we are to hold on to the truth. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life makes it possible for that person to do that, to know the truth and to hold to the truth. He says, abide in Jesus. Abide in the truth. Remain in the truth. Remain faithful to the Lord. Perseverance and endurance are called for here. Perseverance and endurance are called for. You say, well, I don't really like the sound of those two words because perseverance is this idea that something's difficult. Yes. And endurance carries with it this idea that it may take a long time. And that's true too. Perseverance and endurance. It's not easy to control those desires from within that lure you away. It's not easy to swim upstream against the current of the culture. But it is necessary. Hold to the truth. For too long it has been easy for people to be cultural Christians. That means that they're Christians in name only, but they don't hold to what the Scripture says. They don't have a real relationship with Jesus. You know, the persecuted church prays that persecution will come to America because it will determine who is and who is not a true follower of Christ. So remain faithful. Remain faithful. How do you keep score? As you keep score, stay focused on the outcome you want. Keep your eye on the target. The outcome you want, we all want, is eternal life. And Jesus has promised that to all who abide in Him. Stay focused on Him. When's the last time you tried to memorize Scripture? I don't want to tell you the last time that I tried to memorize Scripture. And that's pretty sad. You say, well, I just don't remember things the way I used to. Oh, you remember what you want to remember. And we can memorize Scripture. When's the last time you were a part of Bible study? We're to stay focused on Him. We're to hold to what God's Word says. We're to hold to the full counsel of Scripture. Be aware that there will be those who try to deceive you into believing something else. If you've ever played baseball or softball, you know that hitting a round ball with a round bat can be a difficult thing. In the little bit of the World Series that I watched, the broadcast would replay a batter swinging and missing the ball. The only way that you can hit a round ball that is moving with a round bat is by keeping your eye on the ball. And invariably, they would show a batter who swung and missed, and his head never turned. You look, and it should turn, but it doesn't. Keep your eye focused on the outcome you want. So what are you focused on today? What outcome do you want most? In a recent devotion, Oswald Chambers said this, and remember, Oswald Chambers was speaking to a university, a school, a training place for missionaries. He said, the Christian worker has to be a sacred go-between. He must be so closely identified with his Lord and the reality of his redemption that Christ can continually bring his creating life through him. I am not referring to the strength of one individual's personality being superimposed on another, but the real presence of Christ coming through every aspect of the worker's life. Let me say that again. The real presence of Christ coming through every aspect of the worker's life. When we preach the historical facts of the life and death of our Lord, as they are conveyed in the New Testament, our words are made sacred. God uses these words on the basis of His redemption to create something in those who listen which would otherwise could never have been created. if we simply preach the effects of redemption in the human life instead of the revealed divine truth regarding Jesus himself, the result is not new birth in those who listen. The result is a refined religious lifestyle, and the Spirit of God cannot witness to it because such preaching is in a realm other than his. We must make sure that we are living in such harmony with God that as we proclaim his truth, he can create in others things which he alone can do. When we say, "What a wonderful personality, what a fascinating person, and what wonderful insight," then what opportunity does the gospel of God have through all of that? It cannot get through his personality. That becomes his appeal. If, however, he is identified with the Lord Jesus, Lord himself, then the appeal becomes what Jesus Christ can do. The danger is to glory in men, yet Jesus says we are to lift up only him. Stay focused on Jesus. We all keep score, don't we? We all keep score. How do you keep score? Do not keep score as the world does. The life you want is not about what you have. It is not about what you have. Do keep score by remaining faithful to the Lord. Stay focused on Jesus, and he will give you the outcome you want. Stay focused on him. How do you keep score?